Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
So that clip isn't exactly from last night, but it never gets old. Welcome to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. My name is Tom Lang, and I am so thrilled to be talking to you on the correct side of the regular season. She's in the past. And guess what, everybody? If you just like getting your lightning news from this podcast, and I don't know if any single one person would ever do that, well, we won the division. We're division champs. 54 wins, 23 losses, 5 overtime or shootout losses, 113 points, just enough to get the job done. And now, the lights, they are brighter. The goal horns, they are louder. We are back in the playoffs playing a wild card team. Thank you very much, Boston Bruins. First and foremost, I need to thank our division rivals, who we love, we really appreciate. Thank you to the Boston Bruins for allowing me to revisit this clip I played. And the first time I played it, it was directed at the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You choked. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. You were ready, and you choked.
And Florida Panthers? Oh my, do we owe you a steak or two for what you did the last week of the regular season? Thank you so very much for, even though you were eliminated on Saturday, caring enough to get on a plane, go up to Boston, and beat them into the ice on a Sunday evening. Thank you so very much for a professional, honest effort, because now, division champion Tampa Bay Lightning, we are already one game into the playoffs. And I told you, it was going to happen awfully fast. You know, we were talking last Friday, and this regular season, it couldn't end soon enough. Are we going to be the one seed? Are we going to be playing Toronto? Thankfully, we have an honest chance at this thing. It's now one game into the playoffs. The New Jersey Devils, they're the opponent. They're the last team in. They've got some good young players. But let's be honest, it was a relief. This is something I've been preaching since day one on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Win the division. Having to play the likes of a Toronto, followed by a Boston, followed by whoever it is going to be on the other side of the bracket, Pittsburgh, Washington, whoever. That is a much more exhausting route to try to get to 16 wins and hoist the cup for a second time in franchise history. Thankfully, we got the job done. We did kind of moonwalk into this thing a little bit, backed into it a little bit. That's okay. Because last night, you saw a continuation of what was at least previewed for us when we beat Boston a week ago Tuesday. That's a complete effort. It's smart hockey. And in fact, I'll go to a clip early in the show. This was Yanni Gord's comment about what needs to be done in the third period of last night's win over the New Jersey Devils. It's a 5-2 win. And he was talking to Paul Kennedy on the Fox Sports Sun broadcast.
How do you secure this win? What must you do?
Play simple hockey. We were really smart in the first period. There was absolutely no turnover. We were smart with the puck. We had our forecheck going. So I think we just got to get back to that, get our forecheck going, and we're going to create our chances that way.
Yes. Simple hockey. Smart hockey. You know what happens when you possess the puck and you play north-south? When you're more talented than the New Jersey Devils by a long shot, especially on the offensive side, man, you're going to score a lot of goals. One more time, the beginning of Yanni's answer.
How do you secure this win? What must you do?
Play simple hockey. We were really smart in the first period. There was absolutely no turnover. We were smart with the puck.
You can stop right there, Yanni. You can stop right there. Come on, Mississippi Mass Choir, give it to me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, no more cross-ice passing. Manage your blue line. Get it out of the zone. Get it into the zone. Cycle.
Oh, why don't you trust it?
Be tough on the puck. Battle in front of the nets. Go for the greasy goal. They don't have to be pretty. Thank you, you. Thank you. You know, I was wondering, because we were so much more talented than New Jersey, were we going to attack the Devils with finesse? Were we going to try to get cute? And you know what? We played for the first 25 minutes of this game especially. So very smart. I mean, you saw so many situations where there are a couple of choices. There's the low percentage play that could perhaps get you a 2-on-1, or there's the high percentage play that could get the puck out of danger or put the puck in a high percentage area and give us a chance to go to work on the boards. And that's exactly what we did. I can think of a million examples. Ryan McDonagh getting the puck out of our zone, just chipping it out to center ice, and we'll see if we can battle and force a turnover near the red line. Victor Hedman, when we're in the offensive zone around the blue line, instead of trying to make a low percentage deke move, just cycle it around the back of the net. Forwards coming back and helping out the defense partners. Andre Palat comes back and gives support. Braden Point plugging up the passing lanes and back checking and making sure that there's not a trailer unaccounted for. I mean, this was a comprehensively smart game, and that's the formula that it takes. We fall in love with our ability to score sometimes. There's no doubt about that. And there's also the complacency element. You know, I saw on the hockey news as they were printing their preview for the New Jersey-Tampa Bay series, they noted the fact that we're complacent at times. There's no doubt about that. We're guilty of it. It's in our DNA, as I've said. I thought, given that we're facing a wild card team and not the Maple Leafs, this would be a test of our mental strength to stick to the plan. And we stuck to the plan last night. Again, as Yanni said in the full version of the clip, hardly a turnover in the first period. Second period got a little bit more dicey, but New Jersey's a good team. They may only have one good line, but I do think they got some other good players. Patrick Maroon is tough on the puck. But they have their own plan, and they're going to adjust. It's a best-of-seven series, and you earned your place in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So allow for the fact that another team is going to go on a bit of a run. What do you do to answer it? I just thought we played so smart last night, and it's a great sign of hope. If you're looking for positivity and optimism, you got it last night. This was the team that we fell in love with in the first half of the season, and this is the team that can go on that kind of run. Consistency is all that matters now. You know, you can't follow up this effort in game one, which was overwhelming, stifling, and then get cute in game two. Because then it's 1-1 going back to New Jersey and you have to reach back again. Just show the consistency and take care of business. You know, the unfortunate thing about playing a wild card team when you're the number one overall seed is you're not going to get credit for dispatching of them. Last night's 5-2 win, though it got close and it got down to 3-2 in the third period with about 10-plus minutes to go, I think the score, the final score, was indicative of how much better we were than New Jersey. But nobody's going to pat you on the back for that. Not the national media, because you're the number one overall seed in the East. Not the local fans, because it's Stanley Cup or bust this season. This isn't a nice little story. That's New Jersey. You know, this is the first time they made the playoffs in how many years? So they're thrilled to be there. They're thrilled about what the future holds for them. And they're here to see how much damage can they do. Can they surprise some people? There's a devil may care. Oh, God, I didn't even mean to do that. That's a terrible pun. But there's a reckless attitude. You know, they can play loose. They can play free. For us, we have expectations. So if we win the series in five games, everybody's going to say, well, ho-hum. Let's see what they actually do against a real opponent. If we go seven, then the weight of the world is going to be on our shoulders. All the pressure's on us because we're the favorite team. How do you deal with that? How do you manage those expectations one for one in that department? I will say one concern I do have about our team right now. And hopefully the empty net goal did him some good. But Nikita Kucherov is all out of sorts. In the playoffs, the top defensive pairing or the top checking forward group, they can take away some of your primary options. And the question is, what do you do with your secondary scoring? But Nikita Kucherov is not playing smart hockey right now. Had a couple of terrible shifts last night. But that line with him, Stamkos, and Miller that looked clunky. They had a couple of good moments on a power play. JT, I think, is the most consistent of those players right now when you're talking about Stamkos being hurt and him coming back from injury. You can kind of give him a bit of a pass if he looks rusty. But Kucherov, we know it. You know, for the fans, diehard fans that are listening to this program, man, he is a very finicky player with confidence. When he has confidence, he gets hotter than any other player in the world. I mean, he is unstoppable. He sees the ice, the game slows down, and he makes plays that just, they really put your jaw on the floor. But when he's not going well, you can read it all over his face. He gets frustrated. He tries to overpass instead of shoot. There's just a whole lot that can go wrong with him between the ears. But if he sees something good happen to him, then perhaps his fortunes change. And I hope last night's empty net goal, which is as pretty of an empty net goal as you can see, because the move he puts on New Jersey's defenseman to get by and bury the game, my goodness. Hopefully that allows him to free up his play a little bit in the games moving forward. But how about this? I mean, Tyler Johnson, good Lord, to the positives. And there were so many more positives last night than negatives. There's no doubt about that. Tyler Johnson, is he just built for the playoffs? You know, in baseball, they call you an October guy. Hockey playoffs, a little bit more difficult because you play it over the span, if you go all the way, of three different months. But this man is built for the second season. I don't know what it is about his focus level, but he is relentless on the puck. He won some key faceoffs last night. In fact, that's what keyed our first goal. Made some great plays around the net and obviously finished the job for a goal himself and fed Andre Palat with a beautiful pass on the first goal of the game. He is he's just something else. And when you have to have secondary scoring, especially as the playoffs go on and your top guys get shut down, he's answered the bell year after year after year in the playoffs. And it's just fantastic to watch. He was a bit of an X factor heading into this series. I would have said Braden Point was your top secondary scoring guy. And Braden played one hell of a game last night. But that Tyler Johnson can return to a 2015 Tyler Johnson form, at least for a night, hopefully longer, that makes us so very dangerous. This is a good Friday, everybody. This is a victory Friday on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We play tomorrow, 3 p.m. That game is on NBC broadcast nationally, so you won't get Peckham and Engblom on the call. You'll get whoever the hell NBC decides to send down to Tampa Bay. But that's game two in Amalie Arena, and it's a chance to put a stranglehold on the series before it really even gets going. That's the fun part here. We'll be back on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast in just a second. A couple of concerns from last night, questions via social media and the boards. Then we'll introduce our three stars. That's right, I'm going to introduce my own version of three stars. We'll do three stars of the week, but for this particular episode, it's just one game. And then we'll preview the rest of the series between us and New Jersey. Three games between now and next week. Isn't that awesome? Yes, this is the best time of the year. Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll be right back. We'll get back to the podcast in just a minute, but subscribe to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast at Google Play and iTunes. Subscribing is free, and you'll get an alert every time a new podcast posts. Hit the podcast button on your iPhone, search Joe Bolts, and it's right there. Find the podcast at Player FM2. More platforms are always on the way, and be sure to leave a review, especially at iTunes, because we love the feedback. Now back to the show.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Welcome back, Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. All right, the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast on a victory Friday feels pretty good. Up 1-0 over the Devils. A bit of a ho-hum effort last night. I know it got dicey middle of third period where you're saying to yourself, man, we're up by a lot here. How is it that we're one bounce away from this game being really, really tight and the stands getting really nervous and us potentially having to go to overtime? It doesn't feel like justice. One thing I will note, too, is that JT Miller penalty call in the third period, the slash in the offensive zone. Come on. Come on, Chris Rooney. If that's the standard, if that's going to be the standard of a penalty call in the playoffs, we both should have had 10 power plays last night. That was an awfully interesting call. And I want to make a note real quick before we get knee-deep into the postseason. I am not Mr. Official Conspiracy Theory Guy. I'm not the guy who says original six teams get all the breaks, teams from Canada, they'll get the breaks over us, they just don't like the Lightning. No, anytime something bad happens to you, an official blows a call, It doesn't have to be a referendum on the integrity of the sport. With that said, officials can blow calls and make terrible calls, and that happened last night. But think back to our cup run in 04. You know, Kerry Fraser wasn't allowed to referee another game in Calgary because he gave us a 5-on-3 power play in game 4. We had a 5-on-3 power play. The whole building thought it was a crime. The whole city thought it was a crime. And we end up winning that game 1-0 thanks to a 5-on-3 power play. So, you know, we'll get the calls. These things go in cycles. But that call last night that helped get the game to 3-2, I mean, even before they score the power play goal. I mean, are you kidding me? That's going to be a slash? No, sir. Another thing I noticed last night, and I saw it also in the Toronto-Boston game, if you're a little angry at the linesman for not dropping the puck, you're correct too. Whatever the heck they're trying to do, it seems like it's a preseason type emphasis on a rule where they're trying to get player behavior to change. Guys, the playoffs is not the time for that. Drop the damn puck. I don't care if we get the benefit of the doubt here too, where a New Jersey Devil gets kicked out. Brian Boyle has to go and somebody else comes in and takes the draw instead of him. Come on now. Flow of the game. Let's get this thing going. It's going to take long enough for whenever we have an offside review or a goaltender interference review. Let's not make the linesman a star of the game. With that said, we introduce this week the three stars of the week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. In this case, because we've started the postseason, I don't really care about the Carolina game or the Buffalo game for our home finale. We're going to look at the three stars of last night's first playoff game. And here they are.
Time now for the Joe Bolts Fan Three Stars of the Week.
Greetings.
You have to give a little love to the Count from Sesame Street, don't you? I don't know. You may not be a Muppet guy. I'm a Muppet guy. But the Count, he's cool no matter what. And so we begin.
Number three.
And we had to get Kenny back in there. Poor Kenny Knox, who did not die via lightning strike. So number three star from this game, that would be number 21, Braden Point. Yes, that would be a non-traditional choice here, but Braden Point was a part of the top line with Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson, and I thought he played the best defensive game of any of our forwards last night. He didn't even really take any draws in the offensive zone. You saw most of them go to Tyler Johnson unless he was kicked out of the circle, but Braden Point last night made at least two that I can remember off the top of my head, important interceptions of a pass when we were back in the defensive zone. Back checking, he was just relentless. There are a couple of plays in the offensive zone where he either causes headaches or causes a turnover directly. He was what you expected him to be. And again, you know, I'm talking about guys like Yanni Gourde and Braden Point. You can talk about Anthony Cirelli too, who played another smart game last night. These are their playoff debuts. It's their first time in the playoffs. You know, I think Yanni Gourde gripped the stick a little bit tight in a couple of chances he had. He created an awesome breakaway opportunity for himself in the first period of this game, and he just couldn't put it home. But by and large, by the end of the game, it looked like these dudes who were playing for the first time in the big season, it was nothing to them. And Braden Point did have an assist last night. He was a plus one. He played 17:50. But it was all about the little details of the game. And there were a couple of moments where situations could get tough. New Jersey could get a point-blank scoring chance. But number 21 was responsible for all 200 feet of the ice. I'm not always going to be this little novelty guy who picks detail-oriented players or fourth liners for the three stars. But if you watched the game last night, you know that 21 was one of the best players on the ice. As for the next guy,
number two,
that would be Tyler Johnson, who was outstanding. He was reborn, a version of himself that we know from the cup run of 2015, cup final run, I should say. And then in 2016, he was a monster as well. Well, Tyler had a goal, an assist for 2 points, a primary assist on that first goal by Andre Palat, a really great cycle play back and forth that Palat finishes with a backhander. He was the Tyler Johnson that we've come to know and love. He gets lost in the shuffle in the regular season. He gets thrown on a third line. He gets forgotten, and it's okay. He keeps on trucking. In fact, I would point you to the Players Tribune, which is a a Derek Jeter project from a couple of years ago. It allows the players themselves in sports across the international landscape to have their own voice, speak directly to the fans. And Tyler Johnson put an article out this week in which he talked about being called by Steve Yzerman for an opportunity to come and show his wares to the Lightning franchise. And some great stories in there. It's a shorter read, but I highly encourage you to check out what Tyler Johnson had to say about where the team is, his expectations for the playoffs, and a little bit behind the scenes. There's a great story about he and Andrei Vasilevskiy. As for our number one star.
Number one.
You know, I built these things. I made these imaging pieces, and the Ric Flair woo, no matter when you hit it, it surprises you and it makes you laugh.
Number one.
Woo! I'm sorry. That's the number one star is Andre Palat, and I get it. I get it. He made a terrible play in the second period that leads to Taylor Hall's goal. In fact, in the post-game interview with Paul Kennedy, he said it was stupid. And you're right, Andre, it was stupid. Not a good play at all, Andre Palat. What's wrong with you, Andre Palat? But goal, two assists, and he was a beast. He and Tyler Johnson look like the triplets of old, at least two-thirds of the equation. Man, is he going to be very, very important to us. Again, one of those players we talked about in the first segment who just made smart plays in the defensive zone. Except for the glaring error, I get it. It doesn't disqualify all the good he did. He factors in on three goals, two primary assists, and one very important lid-lifting goal. We had controlled the flow of the game in the first period. Very smart, straight ahead. You could see that we were overwhelming the Devils, but still, you know, if New Jersey scores first, that's all for naught. Maybe you get a little nervous there. But Andre begins the scoring, and he was, for me, the best player last night overall. He impacted the score sheet, and he also was a factor for all 200 feet of the game. So those are your three stars, at least for last night. Now, next week, we'll take a look at the balance of the three games between now and then, 2, 3, and 4, and we'll judge the three stars on a weekly basis. I offered up last night on Twitter, at underscore Tom Lane. You can follow me on Twitter. If you have any concerns or questions, feel free to reach out, and I encourage you guys to do that over the course of the next week, and we'll answer some of those concerns or questions. So the first one I have is from Tyler, at Tyler Del Buono. Tyler Del Buono. The Lightning looked very complacent through the end of the second and into the third. It would have been easy to end the game with intensity and a goal to make it 4-1. What is the main reason for the loss of energy? Go Bolts. Well, I think it's a combination of a couple of things, Tyler. Number one, we did let our foot off the gas a little bit. I think we were trying to protect the lead. We were not all that great at protecting the lead in the regular season. A lot of third period goals given up, a lot of leads given up. But I think New Jersey also made adjustments too. The goal that New Jersey scores is a complete gift. It's Andre Palat's third primary assist of the night, in truth. But the Devils, they're a decent team. They got a lot of nice pieces. They just don't have the depth that we do. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about what they did. To get it to 3-2 again was just, I mean, if that penalty call on JT Miller is going to be the standard, then we're going to get a lot of cheap power plays too. I didn't hold that against us. Taylor Hall makes an incredible play to hold the puck and then pass it to Zajac, who finishes the job and makes it 3-2. There's not much you can do on that play. I was more angry at the official's call in that moment. And then we respond right back and put the game away. You know, there are times during the season when I get really angry about us not caring enough, us not finishing the job, not having the killer instinct. Last night bordered up against that, but it didn't qualify for me. I was more than okay with the effort, the intensity. Just in the playoffs, the other team is going to have the puck for a little while. They're going to possess the puck, and they're going to get some chances that make you feel uncomfortable. In fact, one of the big saves of the night, I thought, was Vasilevskiy on the near post against Maroon. It's a near side goal. He tries to put it up top and roof it, and Vasi makes a big save there. There's no doubt. And he tracked the puck well last night. Let me segue into that real quick. A concern I had for the postseason was Andrei Vasilevskiy's ability to both track the puck and then also his rebound control. I think one of those things he solidified last night, and that was his ability to whip around the net, push back and forth, post to post, square up, be in position, and track the puck. There's a couple of saves he makes in New Jersey's first power play, one of which it's a kick save that he knocks out of the zone with good rebound control, mind you. But he was able to find the puck. The X-ray vision that he has when he's going right, it seems to be creeping back into his game. Was this a five-star effort out of Vasi? Was this vintage Vezina Trophy quality, Andrei Vasilevskiy? No, but it was a lot better than what we've seen leading into the postseason. As for his rebound control, that still needs work, especially up high. His glove hand is a little stiff. That may not be a technical term, but plain and simple, there are a couple of whistles that he could have gotten last night that the puck found a way to come back to the ice. Up around the shoulders, he doesn't seem to be catching the puck or receiving the puck. It seems to be bouncing off of him. He's fighting it a little bit. But hopefully, with the good tracking of the puck, that's an indicator that his whole game is rounding into form. C. Smithers 10 writes to me on Twitter, discuss how we'll watch the game while also attending a wedding. That is true. My buddies and I will be in Dallas this weekend catching game 2 while there's a wedding going on for our friend Kevin. And congratulations to Kevin and his soon-to-be wife, Emily, because Kevin is a diehard Lightning fan, one of the originals in my group, and he is, like so many of you out there, an absolute diehard Bolts fan. So we will try, Smithers. We will try and keep our goal reactions as silent as possible, but there's no doubt we'll be watching on a smartphone, except for the vows. We'll probably put the phone down during the vows, but we'll have that smartphone out there and just put it on mute. So what to look forward to over the next week? Well, we play tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Then we play Monday and Wednesday. Those games are back on Fox Sports Florida. And I think I saw that on Wednesday, the 18th of April, we play on Golf Channel. For those of you not in the Tampa Bay area, whatever. As long as you have that channel, you'll be golden. But right now, a 1-0 series lead. We did exactly what we expected to do, what we thought we were capable of doing. We're on pace. We're on pace. The keys for me between now and the next time we talk in the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, continue to play the smart game. There is no need for those cross-ice exit passes, turnovers in our own zone. JT Miller was also guilty of coming up with a near miss in the second period last night. Stay away from those. Get the puck out of the zone. Get the puck into their zone. We're so much better than New Jersey that you don't have to do anything special here. As long as you play like you did last night, which was fundamentally sound, the goal chances, the goals, it should all take care of itself. This has been fun. The first Joe Bolts Fan Podcast in the playoffs. And there'll be so many more to come, I hope. Many more weeks of coverage. But as for right now, we'll sign off and I'll leave you with a little bit of LA Woman. Because we did win last night, did we not? Next week I'll play it for you if we win 2 out of 3 of games 2, 3, and 4. But since we're 1-for-1 in the playoff win department, a little bit of LA Woman on the way out. Hope you enjoy your weekend. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Mr.